everybody, and welcome to another brand new episode of T Watches a Scary Movie. My name is T, and we're talking scary movies. I appreciate y'all tuning in for another brand new episode. Remember, new episodes go up every Wednesday night here on the YouTube page and our assorted links by going to youtube.com/C/Theron Reynolds Scary Movie. Again, that's youtube.com/C/Theron Reynolds Scary Movie. New episodes go up every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And if you get subscribed to the YouTube page and our other links, you'll be alerted for when I put those videos on up so you can tune in and never miss a brand new episode. Matter of fact, this is our second episode this week as we did do our best of and worst of 2021 so far on Monday. Yes, we did our episode this past Monday talking about the best and worst of the year so far, and we followed that up with our very first all-nighter. And man, that was a lot of fun. A number of you got some free pizza, as promised. I always come through with what I say there. Natalie, Gabe, obviously, you got to take what I'm saying to heart next time. I play for keeps. Could have gotten some free pizza out of that there. But some of y'all got some free pizza. We had a great time. We watched The Forever Purge. We watched, oh God, now I gotta remember. Quiet Place Part 2, we watched VHS, we watched Psycho Goreman, we watched Jennifer's Body. A lot of y'all tapped out quick. A lot of you tapped out quick. Evelyn, you are the winner. You made it through every single movie. You even beat me out because I definitely fell asleep towards the end of Jennifer's Body and definitely woke up during the credits. Enough time to say goodbye and then go back to sleep there. So, Evelyn, you win. I'll be contacting you shortly because, as I promised y'all, there were prizes that were going to come out of that. And because Evelyn made it all the way through, she's got a prize coming. So, want to do another one of those sometime soon. Probably going to do it sometime September or October when the spooky season starts up and we're watching a shitload of scary movies. Something really, really fun for us to look forward to. But if you want to join those watch parties and you want to know when they're going on, you got to join the Facebook group. Because if you join the Facebook group for T Watches a Scary Movie, in addition to getting the links for the watch party so you can join in and watch some fun movies and eventually some really kick-ass TV shows with us, so excited for this fall. There's so much good horror TV coming out this fall. But you can also see when I'm dropping movie news now and TV news as well. Like, I just drop everything. In the past couple of weeks have just been, like, it's been Christmas for horror fans, I feel. It's been so damn good, all the stuff coming out in the past 2 weeks. But if you want to see it, you got to go to facebook.com/groups/T Scary Movie. Again, that's facebook.com/group/T Scary Movie. Go join our Facebook group for the show. Again, you're going to get the links there for our watch parties, along with being able to participate in any kind of discussions we go on about movie news, movie reviews, TV, games, toys, all that kind of stuff. So definitely join up with that. So tonight we have a couple of brand new horror films for you. Summer of Horrors keeps on rolling on, and we're actually talking about a couple of pair of films, one of which is the latest thriller by M. Night Shyamalan, making a triumphant return here. And then, speaking of Jennifer's Body, Megan Fox's big return to horror as well too. So tonight we are going to be talking Old Until Death. Those are the two films we got coming up tonight. And I just want to get right on into it, folks. Let's go ahead and get started with Old. Now, the first thing I got to do is give big old props, big thanks there to my good friend, Mr. John Edward Betancourt and Nerds That Geek. Thank you guys so much. They allowed us to run their contest on the Facebook group there for a couple of pre-screening tickets to go see Old, as Nerds That Geek is covering that. And yeah, that was great. And they also hooked me up with a couple passes. So my wife and I were able to go see an early showing of Old. And man, this movie. Let's talk a little bit here about M. Night Shyamalan here really quickly, because we really have to talk a little bit about how his career has been directing films recently. So when you think about it, M. Night Shyamalan has been around since the early 90s, actually. He's been around doing stuff since 92 or so. But what really broke, what was the really big breakout for him for us was, of course, the motion picture masterpiece, one that everybody saw back in 99. People couldn't stop talking about it. Just so shocking once you got to see it. Yes, of course, folks, I am talking Stuart Little. That is right. M. Night Shyamalan's big break into the film industry here was 1999 Stuart Little, and he's been going strong ever since. I'm also not joking about that. M. Night Shyamalan wrote Stuart Little. Yes, the movie with Dr. House and Gina Davis, where their son is a mouse that's voiced by Michael J. Fox. Yes, that Stuart Little, Mr. M. Night Shyamalan did write that. But being real here, of course, we all saw The Sixth Sense. And from The Sixth Sense up until a couple of years ago with Glass, M. Night Shyamalan's career has been up and down, okay? You can name films that everybody says that they really enjoy. So, of course, The Sixth Sense is definitely going to be on that list there for sure. Signs, depending on who you talk to, is going to be on that list. Split is absolutely on that list. And then it's 50-50 with a couple of these other ones there. Unbreakable, which should be on that list, is a big 50-50 for everybody. Glass is a big 50-50 as well, too. The Visit is a big 50-50. He doesn't exactly have the most firmest credits there over going from like 99 up until 2019, basically. It's not the best collection of movies there. And so I left off with the last film of his seeing being Glass, disappointed. I thought Split was such a great film. It was a scary film. It was an intense film. The character work in it was fantastic. I absolutely loved the story. It was perfect. It was a really, really good film, and especially seeing how it had been quite a while at that point, because Split came out in 2017. Signs came out in 2002, and that's arguably his last actual good movie that he really did, honestly. That's a long time. That's a long time. We're talking a 15-year difference there between good movies at that point. So this was necessary with old to get back into it, and I didn't really know what to expect. I saw the trailer like a lot of y'all did, and you know, a group of people end up on a beach, you know, somewhere nice, and it looks like the beach is causing everybody to grow old, and that's all we know about it, hence the name of the movie, Old. A group of people end up on a beach somewhere, and on this beach, they are all starting to age significantly faster than they would anywhere else. So, first thing to let y'all know is that Old is actually a loose adaptation of a French-Swiss graphic novel called Sandcastle. And story there was about a group of people who end up on a beach that, again, dramatically ages them while they're on this beach and how they deal with that. And M. Night Shyamalan adapted that film into what we have here, which is Old. And it's a pretty diverse cast that he was able to get onto this one as well, too. So you have Gael Garcia Bernal, Vicky Creeps, Rufus Sewell, Alex Wolff, Thomasin McKenzie, Abby Lee. Like, there is a big cast in this film, honestly. And what's very interesting about this, too, is that I kind of feel this film was the fastest start for an M. Night Shyamalan movie, for sure. When you think about, again, think about, like, his greatest hits there. The Sixth Sense, Signs, Split, all those kind of movies and everything like that there. There's still a buildup to everything that's happening. I mean, hell, with Signs, even with, like, the jump scares that happened throughout, like, the early part of the film, we don't actually really encounter the aliens until a little bit more than halfway through the film. They watch the TV report. There's the alien at the birthday party. That's like the first time we see that. With The Sixth Sense, it takes a bit until we actually start seeing, yes, we know Bruce Willis is a ghost, but it takes a bit before we actually get there to seeing like ghosts that we can confirm, like, oh, these really are ghosts and everything that Haley Joel Osment is seeing. So his movies take a bit to actually build up to. And Old, we know what's going to happen. That's the thing, is that it's not that we didn't know in his other films, but we know the whole purpose here. The whole goal of this island, of this movie, is that these people end up on this beach and they start to age, okay? They start to get older. So that mystery is already gone. I think the idea here that we're wondering, from it being a suspense, a mystery, a thriller, whatever you want to call it, is what's doing it? what's the reason why? Are these people in hell? Are they in purgatory or something? And this is just punishment for them? Is somebody doing this to them? Is it magical? You know, what the hell is actually driving this? And suffice to say, we don't have to worry about a twist in this movie. And I say that knowing that that hasn't really been M. Night Shyamalan's like thing for a little bit. And I don't mean that negatively. I guess what I mean to say by that is that he got pegged for a while that his movies are all about that one twist. In The Sixth Sense, it's the fact that Bruce Willis has been dead the entire time. Or if you're an Always Sunny fan, that's Bruce Willis in the first place. If you don't watch It's Always Sunny, that joke will be lost on you. If you do, you know how fucking funny that joke is. And yeah, here's the twist. Yeah, that guy, that's Bruce Willis. So fucking stupid, Charlie. God damn it. But Sixth Sense, Bruce Willis is dead, all right? Unbreakable. Guess what? Sam Jackson was the bad guy. All this stuff he was trying to do to find somebody like Bruce Willis. Unfortunately, he did a lot of psychotic shit. Killed a lot of people. Signs, I guess you could say the twist was it's the water, you know, and that, hey, Meryl, swing away, all that kind of shit there. The village, they're not actually living back in olden days. They're in like a wildlife preserve, like stashed away from the rest of the world, and so on. We keep on going with that. The issue ended up being, though, is that as his movies kept on going, the twist kept having diminishing returns. And I don't know if that's necessarily his fault, because I don't know if he ever intended that to be the thing about his filmmaking. You know, like The Sixth Sense, it makes a lot of sense there, hence the name. But like with a lot of these his other films, like, sure, there was a twist in there, but I don't know if he was like basing his film off of that. And thankfully, just to get it out of the way here, Old is not reliant upon any kind of twist happening with it at all. We are more invested in this point at the relationship between the characters on the beach and what they're trying to understand. So we're left with three families and then a couple and then one loner as well, too. And the idea is that all three of these families who are in this beautiful resort, they've been told about a secret beach. Nobody else knows about it. It's very, very not exclusive, but very private, very quiet. Nobody else has really been there. And all these three different families and this one stranger get these tips about it and decide that they're going to go and check it out. Once they get there and folks start aging, they come across a dead body. And they have to start investigating the mystery behind this dead body and what's going on with all of them as well, too. So, as I was saying, the idea behind Old is really about this relationship between these families and them trying to figure out what's actually going on. Like, what's actually going on there on this beach? What's causing everything that's happening here? And the split between the family is definitely what drives a lot of the later part of this movie. Because as we're introduced to the Kappa family, which is Guy and Prisca, and then their kids, Trent and Maddox, you know, we can easily tell that there's an issue here going on. We're not given all the details there, but there's clearly a problem between Guy and Prisca, and clearly they're not happy with each other. There's an issue between the two of them. In one of the earlier scenes, it's implied that one of them is moving out. They might be getting divorced. You know, somebody else might be involved. We don't really know, but we know there's an issue between them. Their children are aware of this as well, too, and it's having an effect on them. And they all just really want to enjoy this vacation together, this what might be one of the last times that they could enjoy together as a family, just having fun. And joining them are Charles and Crystal, and Charles's mother, and Crystal's daughter here. And this group of four, you know, we get to see them. We get to see them during a meal at the resort, you know, before everybody heads over to the beach, where our other family play the Carmichaels, which is Patricia and Jaren. Patricia has epilepsy, so she breaks out in, you know, seizures and everything. And Charles, our doctor here, helps her when she's having this seizure. And there's a lot of tension that's already set up. You know, it's unfortunate for Rufus Sewell because he's a great actor, and I love a lot of stuff that the guy's been in, but he's also very notorious for playing a bad guy, and so I think that whenever he shows up in a lot of movies, people automatically expect that he's going to be the bad guy, he's going to be the guy, you know, kind of driving everything, which sucks because he's in one of my favorite all-time films for whatever reason called Extreme Ops. It's this, like, extreme sports movie with, like, him and Devin Sawa versus a bunch of, like, Russian mercenaries. It's so terrible, and I love it so, so much. He was a good guy in that. One of the few things I've seen him being a good guy in. But I digress. There's tension between these families. You know, the Kappas have it within their own families themselves. You know, mom and dad, the kids and the parents. Charles clearly has an issue with his wife Crystal, because there's a worry there that Crystal might be involved, you know, with somebody else. She might have might be having wandering eyes or anything like that. And also interesting to know, Charles's wife Crystal is played by Abby Lee, who was Dag in Fury Road, which, so good. That movie is amazing, and she was fun in that too, so that's kind of cool, that that connection that's in there. But as all the families end up here on the beach, and we know there's issues, everybody's having issues here, we are also introduced to rapper Midsize Sedan. Yes, that is his name, Midsize Sedan, who is just hanging out independently by himself. He's got a nosebleed. We don't know what's going on. But then the body of a young woman washes up on shore, and everybody immediately assumes that this tall black man might have something to do with it. And from there, we start to see the kids begin to age more and more. And the film style that was chosen for this, the way that M. Night decided to go around it, I feel like these are some techniques that he has used, like in Signs and like The Happening before, to where, like, we look at one end of the shot, or we pan to one side of the shot, then we pan to the other one there. And granted, everybody does that, but I feel that we've seen M. Night do that a lot in his other films. And it actually works really well here, because obviously, you know, we can't really show somebody aging right on their face as it's happening. That's not really going to work there. You can't show somebody really getting older, unless, you know, super fast forward and all that kind of stuff. But what we'll do is, like, we'll linger on our characters for a second or two. It'll pan away somewhere else, and we come back, they're older at that point. And the idea is that the longer that they're staying on this beach, the older that they're getting, until they all eventually die. And we start to see that there is something that's connecting a lot of the people who have become stranded here on this beach, that there are some health issues. Charles's wife, Crystal, makes a comment to a waiter when they're eating at the resort earlier that she has a calcium deficiency, and, you know, wants this item that has all this extra calcium in it. And tells her daughter, you know, sit up straight so you don't get a hunch in your back, and you think it's just her being vain. And then the island shows us that is not the case at all. There is a big reason why Crystal was so worried about that. Other things, for example, we find out that some of our characters have underlying health issues. So, for example, some of them begin to gain dementia. Some of them have tumors. Some of them, their epilepsy gets worse. Some of them just have like blood clotting issues. They have all these issues that are being exasperated here by the way that time is passing. And they can't escape, because any chance they try to take to escape, they pass out. Something about this island is keeping them there. We don't know, again, is it something that's man-made that's causing this issue? Is this something biblical that could be doing it? Is it a ghostly or demonic presence that's causing the problem? What I've seen thus far, when a lot of people have been discussing, is that they haven't really enjoyed the dialogue, that they said the dialogue hasn't really been that realistic. And I don't know. I didn't have that issue. You know, my wife said she didn't really enjoy the dialogue at all. She didn't enjoy the movie that much at all, just to be honest about it. But I found myself really, really enjoying it, actually, because I felt that it was probably the most personal story that M. Night has told us over his entire collection of films. And keep in mind, like, we all love The Sixth Sense, but that's not exactly a personal film, though. We don't get as much, like, much closer to Haley Joel Osment's character until really the end of the film, and even then it's not that much. And even Bruce Willis's character, we don't care that much about it because, like, we're like, all right, you're going through a divorce or something like that. No surprise, you're dead. I don't know. It's not that much of a personal story, in my opinion. Like, we don't get to know those characters that much. And I feel that one thing that Old did really well that I don't get the people are trashing it for is that I did enjoy the dialogue between the characters. I really did, because everybody kind of played a role in this there. You know, I don't want to spoil it, but they had a character who was set up not as the bad guy, but as, you know, one of the antagonists of the film. And it's like, well, you're very much there to serve this purpose, because these people can't really fight the island. They can't punch sand. They can't punch rocks. They can't do anything like that at all. But they got to have something that they can go against here. So, you know, one of the people there on the island, on, you know, on the beach they're on, ends up working as the de facto antagonist there. But I thought it was a very emotional story, because we get to see a lot of these relationships progressing more and more. We get to see a lot of love between them. You know, the Carmichaels. To where you have Nurse Jaren and then psychiatrist Patricia, you know, seeing the love between them and, you know, what Jaren's had to do probably for a good portion of their relationship, helping her with her seizures. And then, you know, the Kappas, again, Guy and Prisca are getting, you know, they're getting divorced. They're having issues. There's somebody, there could be somebody else involved there with that. And the fact they have to contend with that with their kids who are seeing and hearing everything that's going on. And then we have Charles and Crystal, who are also having problems because Charles feels that Crystal might have a wandering eye. And we're not exactly told that that's not the case that's going on with any of this either now. There's just so much happening in all of these relationships and how these relationships can get better or worse over the course of time they're spending on this island. Now, in terms of scares, in terms of gore, gore isn't a big part of this here. There's definitely some knives involved in this for some very very gruesome knife play in this, but there's not really a lot of blood. It's not gory in the sense, but M. Night's never been that kind of guy either here. This movie very much comes across as PG-13. If you're trying to get an idea of the kind of gore and the kind of like how messy or anything it's going to be like that, it's definitely a PG-13 style there when it comes to the gore. Now, in terms of scares, not really that kind of film either here. You know, it's not, like, I hate to spoil it, but it's not monsters and stuff like that that they're going against in this movie. So the scares are really built from the tension between the characters and wondering, you know, are they going to make it off of this beach? Are they all going to die? Is somebody going to save them? You know, what's actually going to happen here? And that is really what builds the scares in this. And I do feel they do have maybe not effective scares, but they do effectively build some good tension here with this film. They really do a good job with it, honestly. Now, in terms of the story, I was happy with it. The story of the movie here has a different ending than what happened in the graphic novel. The graphic novel, which I have not read, but, you know, doing research on, very much leaves it ambiguous, because the questions really aren't, you know, what's causing this? Why are they here? What is the purpose of this beach that these characters have ended up on? The movie gives us some more direct answers about that. And whether you find those answers satisfying or not, it always comes to the idea of, do the means justify the end? Okay, that's always the question in a lot of horror movies about situations that we find our characters in there. And I don't know if I necessarily felt that way, which I don't know if we're supposed to going off the ending, if, you know, the reason why the characters are in the predicament that they are, if they're deserving of that. I don't know if I would agree with it, if the justification really works out well, but that's for all of y'all to decide. I'm very curious if you see it, how you feel about the way they were able to justify the reason why everything was going on. Put it in the comments. Let's talk about it. I want to hear your thoughts on that there. I also love the fact that because that they featured children in this story, and the whole idea is that this beach ages you, we got to see many different actors playing the same characters. And seeing the three children here on the beach go from being really, really young into maturity, into, you know, adults, into, like, they're not even middle age anymore. They're going into old age. Like, it's interesting to see that. And it's so fascinating because they pick great, great actors who do all look reminiscent of each other, honestly. And seeing some of those quirks maintain from one age to another age and another age, and they slowly start going away. And it's like, wow, seeing this person grow up and seeing like what quirks they keep and what stuff goes away, those are interesting character choices, honestly. I enjoyed it. I did enjoy this film. I do think it's one of his most personal films, if not the most personal film that M. Night Shyamalan has put together. The acting, I felt, was very, very strong. I especially loved the relationship between the Kappas, honestly. I thought watching Prisca and Guy and see what happens to the course of their relationship throughout this movie, it was so beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. And even more beautiful that their kids got to enjoy it, because it's kind of like, you get to see your parents like go through their entire relationship. And that's like really, really cool, honestly. Thought it was a good movie. I really did. I would recommend it, y'all. I think this will be, this is definitely going to set itself apart amongst like the lower end M. Night Shyamalan films for sure. But check that one out, y'all. Old, it's in theaters now. And that leaves us with our second and final movie tonight, which is going to be the new Megan Fox film, Till Death. So, Till Death. Till Death stars Megan Fox, Callan Mulvey, Leoin Mackin, Amil Amin, and Jack Roth. And it tells the story about a woman unhappy and confused in her marriage who just recently ended a relationship with a friend of hers that works for her husband. And how she ends up in the worst predicament possible as her husband takes her to a lake house that they used to visit when they were in happier times. They proceed to have a great night together, and then she wakes up handcuffed to him before he commits suicide. Now, stop me if you've heard something like this before, because it's not exactly something new. You know, we've seen something like this before, and if you haven't, there was a film that hit Netflix in the last few years that should be very reminiscent. I am, of course, talking about Gerald's Game, to where a couple, again, in a not great relationship there, decide to spice things up. They decide that they're going to go ahead and they're going to cup themselves together, basically. And they're going to end up with the husband dying and the wife trying to find her way out of this. And that's the movie. The movie, honestly, as we start to find out there, Megan Fox's husband is a very nefarious being. And he's not as on the level as somebody that seems like him would be. And then he had a lot of issues and worked with a lot of bad people. And we find out that in a way to screw over his wife, he has hired a pair of people to handle his wife. And that's our story of Till Death. Now, one of the biggest things that's going for this film is that it's such a small cast. Obviously, we've seen Megan Fox in other horror before, namely Jennifer's Body. And that is a very more traditional kind of horror movie experience that we expect to get. A lot of young kids. At the time, she was young as well, too. It's not really that much of a personal story here, whereas this one is very much about this couple and about their broken marriage and about how, you know, one person in this broken marriage will go through even his own death to just absolutely stick it to his wife here. And, you know, it's not a particularly deep film, okay? So that's the biggest thing here. One of the biggest things about this is not a particularly deep film. You're not going to walk away considering, you know, a lot coming out of it. But I did actually find it really enjoyable just because, again, you know, sometimes you need a break from the over-the-top horror that comes out with the monsters and the vampires and the ghosts and the witches and the demons and, you know, all that kind of stuff, or beaches that turn you old super fast. You just want a, you know, traditional crime suspense thriller like this. And that's really what it ended up being. You know, Megan Fox sells pain very, very well, you know, as you should remember from Jennifer's Body. And On top of that, our villain of the story, Callan Mulvey, who you've seen in plenty of things, from The Winter Soldier, actually, I guess, multiple Marvel movies, as he reprised that character, like in Endgame and stuff as well, too. But Callan Mulvey, who's been in a number of different films, usually playing, you know, the tall, strapping bad guy, basically, is our bad guy in this as well, too. And it's very easy to sense the danger that Megan Fox's character is in throughout this movie because of the difference in size and body shape and all that kind of stuff. And the fact that this guy that's here will do anything and everything to complete his mission. He's here for one reason and one reason only, and nothing is going to stop him from doing it. And it's creepy. It's creepy and in the best of ways, because his character really does get that across there. It's like, no, like, I'm not here to play games with you. Like, I'm going to murder you and anybody else that tries to stop me from murdering you as well, too. And a lot of this movie really is based on your like of Megan Fox. That's really it, because the cast is not big. The cast is not big at all. We spend the majority of this movie just with Megan Fox and following her around trying to keep herself safe. Now, in terms of scares or gores or anything like that, it's not a particularly gory movie. There's a few spots in it there that's like, damn, okay, gonna cut that up. All right, cool to go. And there is one death in here that's a very much a oh shit death for sure. But really, outside of that, it's not really a gory movie. It is brutal, though. It is definitely brutal. And Megan Fox does get knocked around, just to let everybody know that right now. In terms of scares, again, it's a lot like, and I don't mean to like compare it to Old, but how I said Old didn't really have much in the way of jump scares, or it's not really that much of an actual scary movie or anything like that. It's the same idea here with Till Death. This movie's not really meant to like freak you out and have you scared of these characters or anything like that there. It's just scary to think that, you know, somebody out there might do this because how obsessed they are with their loved one. You know, and just that if they can't have them, nobody else is going to have them, you know. But it's not that scary of a movie. Suspenseful, for sure, and very, very tense, absolutely. But it's not really that scary of a movie, and I think that's okay, because we're not looking at a repeat of Jennifer's body, which, give or take, is the really, really good idea that we're not having to do that, because I like that movie some days. Some days I don't, though, either. But a very, very different kind of movie in this, for sure. And it did make me want to see Megan Fox in more horror. It really did, just because she does really well, I feel, in these kind of movies, honestly. And it's not that like she's just out there screaming or anything like that, because she really isn't. Like, she didn't spend this movie, she didn't spend Jennifer's body doing a bunch of screaming or anything like that as well, either, honestly. And I'm not out here saying, yeah, Megan Fox is definitely this amazing actress who's fantastic and everything. But I also think she deserves way more credit than what she usually gets. And for really not doing much in the way of horror, getting to see her come back and do something kind of big like this, it was really welcome to see, because she does play very well in the genre. I really do think that this is something that she could come back and do again and have such a great time with. So I'm really hoping this is not the end of it. I'm really hoping this won't be the end of her in horror and the films that we get from her, because it is a fun little short film, honestly. That's really it. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it, because it is a very one-note film. It's not particularly deep, honestly, but it is good. I did enjoy Till Death. Definitely check it out there. I do know it is still playing in select theaters. Otherwise, you do have the ability to rent it on most on-demand platforms as we speak. And that is going to do it for us, y'all. That is going to do it for us tonight. I appreciate you tuning in again for another brand new episode. Head on over to the Facebook group. We're getting set with our watch party tonight. We are watching Till Death, and then we're actually going to watch M. Night Shyamalan's The Visit as well, too. So we had a couple back-to-back coming up for you tonight that's starting pretty much right now. So get on over to the Facebook group so you can tune in for that. And then next week, come on back again, folks. We got more Summer of Horror coming towards you. I've been really enjoying bringing y'all the Summer of Horror. I thought it would get a little tedious, but the fact that we've had so much new things coming out, it's just been really good to do. Next week's going to be a really good one, though. We are talking Brotherhood of the Wolf, which I love the fact that so many of you have seen this and know how good of a movie that is. But then we're also talking about a gem from Netflix. And Netflix just seemingly, you can get a guarantee, Netflix is going to put out at least one good horror film every year. We're going to talk The Platform as well, too. So next week, we are talking Brotherhood of the Wolf and The Platform. And then the week after that, we're celebrating my birthday. We are talking Tales from the Crypt Demon Knight and Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. So get to the Facebook group, get in the watch party. Let's watch some Till Death and The Visit. Folks, I appreciate y'all tuning in. Make sure to like the video, tell your friends, subscribe to the YouTube page. Go watch some old episodes too. We're coming up on the year sooner than later, y'all. And I got some great stuff in the works for you. But my name is T. We've been talking scary movies. Stay scared.